Tonight's Big Brother 20 recap is sponsored by our friends over at True Car, who have some useful car tips you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You could remove excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage. JC does not like removing excess weight. He wants you to have more weight in your car. That's part of his master plan. You could also place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. And if you listen to JC, your chin will also increase its range. But here's another tip that you might not know about: how True Car can help you save on a used car as well. That's right, True Car is not just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you could see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. You'll also be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, still filling in for Rob. Unfortunately, still gone with his family, so I'm here to host. But I have brought you a wonderful guest. It's a special Sunday, Summer of Stein, on the 16th of September. How's it going, Eric?
Do you trust me, Taryn? Do you trust me? I just need to know. Do you trust me? Do you trust me?
No.
Pinky promise.
Okay. I remember the pinky promise. Yes, we're here to talk about this Sunday night episode of Big Brother 20. We've got posters to talk about. We've got concerts to review. We've got so much content to review here, Eric.
Oh, I know. It's normally I get to cover nonsense, but I came on tonight for the hard hitting issues. You know.
Yeah. Really, the worst guest to have on such a nothing night of Big Brother 20.
I think was it last Sunday when you were filling in that you said, was this some cruel joke, a setup? That's what I feel like here.
Yes, this was a setup.
I was like, all right, I'll get my strategy chops going. Like, I'll come in and like we'll come at it from a different angle. I'll show my diverse podcasting style. Nope, we'll just keep mocking it, just like I have on every other Summer Stein.
Yeah, this, he's going to be on an episode recap. We'll have like a different angle of the Summer Stein, talking to me instead of Rob. We're hard hitting stuff. I wrote down extensive notes about these posters, so
I'm extremely excited.
So yes, the Summer of Stein, it has to continue. So let's talk about this episode. Obviously we saw like this recap of the double eviction, where we basically got Tyler, reviewing what went down, the biggest blindside of the summer. Was this the biggest blindside of the summer? There have been quite a lot.
Nope, not even close. There's only six people left in the game. Somebody had to go. Tyler did one of our least favorite things in this segment, which was he sort of tried to sell the audience a bill of goods that this is all because Brett was going to betray level six. I vaguely recall Tyler planning on getting Brett out as well. So it's quite an interesting version of the story that he landed on for the audience.
Yeah. I mean, Tyler's been planning on taking Brett out for a while. This definitely, it seemed like it was a bill of goods here. He's pushing this narrative, and I assume this is the narrative he plans on pushing to Brett as well. Like, hey, Brett, you went against the alliance, but I don't know how well that will work for Brett.
Yeah, I think it wasn't the biggest blindside to the house at large or to the audience, but Brett himself did feel betrayed. He was blindsided by the situation. I don't think he should have been, but I believe he was. And it's interesting because Tyler has an all-time great social game. I think at this point we can all agree everyone feels safe with him this deep into the game, and everyone's putting their games in his hands. But it comes with consequences, and we see that as he's sending people out of the game. And it's sort of interesting because there is some slight holes. He lacks a little bit of logic and finesse in some of his arguments. You know, he's telling Brett, you know, just throw the veto, just throw the veto. Well, if he really had Brett's best interests at heart, wouldn't he want another good competitor working towards securing the veto to make this plan happen. And when he sits down with JC over this episode and the last week or two of episodes, and he's talking through, no, we cannot get out Angela and KC. JC should be able to see that Tyler is not arguing for their best interests. If they were really in a final two, then of course that's the best move for their game. So if someone was really astute and really trying to figure out what he was doing, they would catch on to him. But then the flip side of that is you got to credit him, because it means his social game is so on point that they are blinded to the realities of some slightly sloppy moments that perhaps someone else might have, you know, had issues with if their relationships weren't so good.
Yeah, I've been saying it all season long that I feel like Tyler is like the opposite of Vanessa, where she had barely any emotional connection to the players that she played with, but she could come up with a logical way out of any situation. Tyler is the complete opposite, where they feel so bonded to him that he so often is able to get away with just spewing nonsense of like, well, you should backdoor Swaggy because, and like, no, I did this for the good of us. Just have faith. It'll work out. Don't worry. He doesn't know how to argue the points, but most of the time people are just like, okay, that's fine. We trust you. Do you trust me? Yeah. Yeah, we do.
And I mean, I think ultimately you got to give kudos to him on that. Whenever you're getting other players to do things that are contrary to their own best interests, then you are nailing this game. And he's done that time and time again, starting with Caitlin and all the way down the line to present day. I mean, he's basically have people doing his dirty work for him. The problem is he's done it so effectively and so subtly that it seems like he's lost the narrative in the house about his own gameplay. Because as you have covered many mornings this summer, it doesn't seem clear to the other players that he's actually playing so well. So then, you know, perception is reality. So is he playing that well then? It's really a very fine line. He's been dancing all summer and he's been doing some things so fantastically. And then there's other things as you watch tonight. And it's like, you know what? If people had like greater courage in their own convictions and sense of self in their own games and could just dig in a little bit more, it would be very clear to them that he really isn't helping them out. And that is going to send them to the jury angry. And I think, you know, it's starting to get really dicey for him as we're getting towards the end here.
Yeah, JC said something interesting at the start of the episode in his diary room where he said, don't get me wrong, this was an amazing move. But now I can't trust Tyler. I was really betrayed. And then he's going to later, when he's talking to Tyler, say, this was the dumbest thing you've ever done. You can't trust these women. But it's hard to get inside his head, because I thought that JC would think this was a dumb move. But when he says it was an amazing move in the diary room, I don't know, maybe that's just out of character in the moment. You know, he's just kind of like reeling from the thing. But he might have come away from this understanding what Tyler was doing and just is portraying it to Tyler like he thinks it's a dumb move. I think for the most part, JC is going to continue to underestimate Tyler in terms of or undervalue Tyler in terms of what he's brought to the table. But I did think it was an interesting comment.
Who on the jury is going to articulate Tyler's game for him? Because if he keeps with these vague mumblings and like half-assed explanations going on finale night, and he has a angry Brett and angry JC, who are going to be, you know, theoretically two of the bigger voices that might be on the jury, I think he is going to be up against it a little bit. And I know that the common lingo is bitter jury. And I know I'm just playing a semantics game here, but I'm not sure there is such a thing as a bitter jury, because the social part of the game is the game that you start playing on day one, and it's the most essential part of the game. And the way that I perceive this is, I mean, Andy was able to do it. Derek was able to do it. Other people have been able to play this tight game and not leave people feeling disgusted at the end. And for such a well-liked guy in the house, it is a little surprising that Tyler isn't more finessed in what seemingly are the feelings that people are having for them as they exit the house. You would think he'd be able to patch that up a little bit more, but he has done one of these jobs where he almost took it too far in making everyone feel so secure. He has now broken too many promises. So it's very interesting. It's going to be a very interesting thing to see if he's sitting there, how he is received on finale night.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this morning about how Andy did essentially, because Julie keeps talking about it on the show, and they keep mentioning it, like, oh, Tyler and all of his final twos, is this going to come back to haunt him? But, like, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with making a billion final twos. You know, Andy was able to play everyone like crazy and even be hypocritical in doing so. And when the jury questions him at the end of the game, like, why should we vote for you when you said you wouldn't vote for us if you did what we did, if we did what you did to us? And he's like, well, I lied. Then I said that so you wouldn't do it to me, but I still did it to you because it's the better move. And they were like, congrats, Andy. Like, you can do those things. It's just a matter of, like, how both the kinds of people that are on the jury, and also I think how you how you're able to finesse the way that they go, how you manage them as they go out, as Tyler says, you know, when he talks about whether sending either Sam or JC home this week.
Well, there is one thing I feel he could have done differently. He doesn't, obviously, final two means nothing. He had a final two with Brett, you know, that. So having a final two in and of itself guarantees nothing. Everyone knows that. But at the same time, don't make promises that you know that you're planning on breaking. Instead, phrase it in a slightly vaguer way. Say things like, boy, if I could, you know, you're sitting and hanging out with Brett in the backyard and you say, man, like, this is the best time I've had this summer. And if I could just keep on doing this as long as possible, we're going to be golden. You know, just make vague statements that do not promise a specific thing, because once you have told someone you are specifically going to do something for them and then you don't do it, that hurts their feelings. I mean, I know you're a robot, Taryn, but the thing is, there is a lot of human emotion in this. And I probably came into the house thinking I'd be very similar to how you feel you would play the game. And I felt like I would not be affected by the people. It's impossible to not be affected by the people. You are there for way too long and you need to rely on them without family, without friends, without entertainment. And if you want to win $500,000, you need to rely on them. It's impossible to fully remove yourself from the hurt feelings, which is why I say, for me, bitter is not the exact term I would use. It's just affected by the circumstances that went down, and you're responsible for how you make people feel. So good or bad inside of the house.
And sometimes you even fall in love.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, what was his quote? He said, I said I wouldn't have a showman's, but now I'm in love.
I think he turns around. Yeah. He also says, I think, I guess I'm in love with Angela.
Yeah, right. Like, she's assigned that to him, or the diary room did, I suppose.
Also, like, how sad was it during the double eviction recap when JC comes to run into the room with Tyler, and he's got a huge smile on his face. He's running in to hug Tyler, celebrating, you've won the HOH, we're all good. And Tyler just puts his hands out, stiff arms him, and goes, do you trust me? And the smile just goes off of JC's face. It's so sad.
It really is. And if you didn't tell everyone you had final twos with them, this wouldn't be such a tricky situation for Tyler. It is sad. And it's interesting. I really feel like the edit we're getting tonight is angling for that JC America's favorite vote. I really think he got a sympathetic edit tonight. He's been in a lot of great, likable segments throughout the summer. And tonight, you know what the difference between him and every single other person who's gone out this entire summer is? That he actually understands the game and the scope of the game well enough to know what's happening to him now. Mm-hmm. And everybody else was so stupid that they didn't realize until 20 minutes after their Julie interview what was going on. And then they might still not realize. But you see the wheels spinning in this poor guy's head. And I don't think he's necessarily put it all together in quite the way that the viewers know the situation to be, but he knows well enough to know that he's totally screwed at this point. So,
yeah, I've been saying, I feel like JC might have a shot with America's favorite player. And especially with this episode, I feel like it's going to come in. And, you know, he's talking about how he's screwed at Final Four, even if he does survive this week. You know, that's the robbed goddess spot. That's the fallen angel spot. So I could really see him being a fan favorite at the end of this.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, obviously Haley's another strong contender, and Tyler, because he's spoken five times as much as the rest of the cast combined. So it's going to be one of the three of them, I think. I think, you know, the super fans probably have a soft spot for Brett, but I do not think Brett is going to have the casual support to ultimately pull off that vote. But you never know. He had a good run as well.
Yeah, I think Brett was like the lovable villain, but I don't know if he's like the main character that that wins America's Favorite. Unfortunately,
right. he's not like, you know, James or one of those great favorite players from the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, you know, the main character, James, you know, so yeah.
more pranks.
If only he had done more pranks, he would have had it. I think it's interesting what you point out about JC sort of understanding just like, oh, wow. I'm screwed, because I think JC, the way that JC has perceived this game all along, there's an early point in, I think, week one or two when JC talked to Tyler one-on-one, and I said in one of the updates, like, man, these two are way tighter than I thought. They're playing the house. They're playing both sides. They could do really well together. Like, this could be the new Dan in Memphis kind of thing, theoretically. I think JC went the entire game thinking they were Dan in Memphis, thinking that they were Chilltown, like playing the whole house. Nobody realized it. And he's just now realizing, oh, and he thought he was the mastermind behind the two. But he's just now realizing, oh, crap, this is not my partner in crime. This is somebody who finally, when it was convenient, decided to turn his back on me.
Yeah, and I mean, he really has no one to blame but himself, because he was suffering from delusions of grandeur of his own gameplay and his own place in the house, which, you know, makes it tricky. I mean, there's so many places, as you guys have covered ad nauseum, that this went off the rails. So you can point to any number of disasters, but JC and Brett really screwed themselves for the seventh time when they voted out Fessy instead of Haley. That was the biggest mistake that they made in the game, because if Fessy was left in the game by himself, he would have interpreted the situation that JC was his closest ally, and he would have actually provided some manpower for them in these competitions. He would have had nowhere else to turn, and JC would have had him in his pocket if he found himself in this situation. Instead, he, you know, she crawled to the girls, and it really served him no function whatsoever. And I think JC sort of rode the wave that he felt was the house vibe at that point. And that was a place that I think he needed to drum up Brett or Sam or somebody at that point to say, guys, we are losing the numbers here. But to your point, I don't think he ever really saw that or felt that way, because he felt he was the numbers. So it's like he had the entire picture of the game figured out, minus what Tyler's true allegiance was. Unfortunately for him, that was the biggest part of the equation. And it seemed to be the part of the equation that no one could figure out, which is peculiar, because obvious to the viewers, but it's so not obvious to the house guests that I wonder, is there something as viewers we're not understanding from inside the house, or are they all just that stupid?
Yeah, it's, there's something about his eyes, Caitlin said. His eyes, they just trap you. We go through the thing right after Tyler nominates Brett. He says, I'm sorry, you're the best player in here. I'm sorry, brother. And Brett's like, well, apparently not, because I just got screwed. That wouldn't happen if I was the best player.
Yeah, I thought that was bizarre. And also strange was, I caught this, they didn't put it in the recap, but as Brett was leaving, he whispered in his ear, I'm going to win this thing. And I was like, what does that mean? Is Brett supposed to be happy about that in that moment? Is he claiming I'm going to win it for us after he just voted him out? Like, I didn't understand how that was supposed to be reassuring to Brett in that moment. I would have been like, great. Thanks for that. Good luck. Like, what? Yeah. I don't know where you're supposed to go with that.
It kind of feels like Tyler's sitting on the throne, like, do not worry, your sacrifice will be for the greater good of the kingdom. as they drag him off to be executed.
Yeah, it was strange. And I mean, I get where Tyler's coming from in trying to finesse Brett and, oh, you're the best player. Yeah, okay, I get it. But it's pretty telegraphed. It's pretty see-through. Like, I think a better remark might be something along the lines of, listen, you know, you're in the way of my ability to win this game. I'm so sorry, which is a similar sentiment, but not quite so obviously obnoxious, which I don't think it landed well for Brett either.
Yeah. Sam went through a whole cycle of emotions going up to Tyler, calling, saying, Angela's a bitch. And then saying, oh my God, I said a bad word. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, Angela. I called you a bad word. I don't even know what was going through her head the entire night.
I don't think she knows what's going through her head at this point. I mean, she has turned out to be one hell of a casting. I mean, from like the new Jordan or Donnie to the first completely like psychopathic murderous house guest in Big Brother history. It's been just this episode and every episode and the whole summer has been quite the roller coaster of emotions for Sam. I mean, honestly, I'm not being facetious. I know that we like to like key in on hardcore gamers. She has brought a really fun, unique, weird dynamic to the house. And for a really strategic player, that's the type of player that you have no idea how to handle because you never know where she's coming from because she doesn't know where she's coming from. So I actually stand by her casting. Was she good for the game? No. And that can be frustrating at times, but she was certainly brought volatility and a unique character that we haven't seen before.
I think that Sam might have a secret twin or at least some sort of doctor, like Jacqueline, Dr. Hyde sort of situation, where, any given diary room, she's either evil Sam or happy go lucky Sam, and happy go lucky Sam loves Angela. She has her back. Everything's great. She's crying at the concert. And then evil Sam is like, Angela's a bitch. And if they send me home, they won't know what's coming. I'm going to tear them apart. It doesn't even matter when in the episode it is. You just flip a coin when she comes up in the diary room.
I think that what you just described is more commonly known as bipolar disorder. So I'm pretty sure that's what we're actually seeing. But it could be a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of scenario where, right, depending on maybe it's like the time of day, whether the moon is out, you know, what she just had for breakfast or something. But yeah, she is very quick to turn on a dime. And I don't even think it really affects the other people. I'm surprised to hear Angela even express any sort of like fact that she was upset over this, because I thought they had just dismissed anything she said months ago. I mean, there was plenty of people when I played that it really didn't matter what they were saying. Like, their word was meaningless. And I really thought that that was the case with Sam. It seems like she's managed to pester them just enough that they truly are fed up with them. She's like become, what is that, like week two boot where you're just like, I'm sick of this person. So I know it's not my best game move, but I'm going to send them out, except they literally can't even live like three more days with her because I cannot really get on board with the fact. And I'm curious your take on this, that they think that they're better off getting Sam out than JC out, because you could at least imagine a world in which JC wins one of these competitions. Plus, JC has shown time and time again a willingness to at least take a big swing. Sam is totally under Tyler's thumb. I'm surprised that the girls are more concerned about Sam than they are about JC. I understand the jury component of it, but I mean, don't you think it would be pretty easy to argue against Sam if you're sitting next to her? Just be like, she did nothing. Do you want to be on the season that Sam wins the show? She didn't even want to be here. It was your life dream. She hated every one of you, you know, and every minute of this experience. I think she'd be easier to discredit than they think, but I don't know. I'm curious your take on that.
No, I mean, I agree. When Angela was saying, and I do think that Angela genuinely believes this, and that's because there's been a lot of groundwork put in, you know, along the way where Sam has been voting against the grain. She hasn't been voting the people out, and she's been hanging out with the people who have been leaving every week. It's sort of like the Kevin thing from last season where people are like, oh, he's intentionally trying to campaign to the jury, but he was actually just being somebody who nobody talks to in the house, which is when somebody else gets ostracized, it's like, hey, a buddy. And so like, there's been a lot of work put into like, well, she's a jury threat. Look at her campaigning to the jury. But when Angela says this, that like, she thinks that Sam can beat her in a jury vote, I was actually thinking, you know, thinking about this, Sam is actually probably the one person that maybe you could beat in the end. Angela, I think you probably lose to everyone else pretty easily and you have a shot to beat Sam.
Right. For that very reason, she could simply articulate, I was on the correct side of every single vote this entire season. And Sam didn't even know what was happening. Like, it seems like it would be like, also, it's not like a very long narrative. It seems like in just a few concise sentences, she could convey how she plainly played a better game. I don't know. I haven't heard this come up in quite some time. Maybe they have in the back of their head how Sam beasted out that one endurance competition, and maybe they think she has some sort of like second gear that she could kick it into. But I find that hard to believe that they would be concerned about either one of them in a challenge at this point. And I don't know. I feel like JC has some friends on the jury. I feel like he, you know, at least could articulate in his own way, it might be totally wrong, how he believes that he played the game and played the game well and played the game strategically. Sam, what's Sam going to even say if she's sitting there like, you know, I love you all and it would be an honor and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I guess the vote could go either way. But for me, I was surprised when I saw on the feeds who the target was this week. It seemed to me like I had it in my mind after Brett goes JC. And so it was surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's a little surprising to me, even from Tyler's perspective, where I think that, yes, JC, I don't think is going to go after Tyler immediately. And I do still think that JC would take Tyler to the end. But I think Tyler has a better shot against Sam in the end than he does against JC. I think Sam is as loyal to Tyler as JC is. At this point, now that he's betrayed JC, I think they're both equally controllable, which is to say, not that controllable, but still loyal to Tyler. So I even from Tyler's perspective, I feel like JC is probably the one to get out, though you do have to deal with how bitter he would be about being betrayed even one step earlier than Sam if you're Tyler. So that's maybe something to consider. And I know it's something that Tyler has been talking about. He's been saying like, JC's going to be, he's going to be so bitter. He's going to hate me so, so much. This is not going to be good.
Yeah. And, you know, rightfully so. I guess if you went the entire summer with that as your perception, whether it was correct or not, or, you know, I'm not saying we should feel sympathy for him. He got played by the better player. But you can understand if you're looking at from JC's side of thing, why he would not be feeling great about this transaction. And also, it's like so frustrating to him. And you've seen this time and time again throughout like the summer where he's just what he is actually shouting at Tyler is correct from JC's perspective on the game. Like that's so you could imagine how infuriating this would be if you think the two of you are playing and you think your partner is an idiot who's not understanding like, hey, this is what we need to do to win the game. And he's 100% right. If the objective was for them to win the game, and that's the only part he doesn't seem to understand, which unfortunately is more than a little bit of a problem for his game at this point.
Yeah, it really is. So let's talk about this HOH competition. BB Flicks and Chill, which very, very raunchy with the times.
Yeah, I mean, it's like what's next? American Pie or something? It's so cutting edge with all their technology, as always.
Yes. Well, at least we're back to technology. Movies were invented like, back in the early 1900s. So we're getting there.
I will say I did enjoy the very bizarre array of house guests that they dusted off for these posters.
It's true.
Someone was drinking heavily when they conceived these. You could just imagine the creative brainstorming. It's like you're on beer number four and you're like, wouldn't it be great if we did one with Keith? Oh, man, let's do it.
I'm pretty sure I saw David Gurton in there.
Oh, my God. Fantastic.
Which I never expected to see him again.
Hey, I'm only about 20,000 Twitter followers from catching him. So,
well, there you go.
I can't have him appearing. He's going to get a boost again.
Oh, man. You should have. If only you had gone out first, you could have been on that poster.
Yeah, maybe him and Braden are getting together for some sort of surfer's revenge against Tyler. They're just pissed that he's finally mastered the gameplay for the lifeguard archetype.
Mm. Also, why was Tyler wearing a Hugh Hefner robe?
I have absolutely no idea. The only thing that I landed on was that was like his chilling out outfit. But I've never watched Netflix nor gone to the movies in an open robe of any sort, let alone a crushed velvet robe.
You've never BB flixed and chilled with a velvet robe? It sounds like exactly like it would be your style.
Now, if anybody would know the answer to this, it would be you, Taryn. Is that an effective way to try to seduce somebody to BB flicks and chill? If you ask someone back to your house to watch the BB live feeds, can that result in a potential makeout situation, or do you end up just nerding out to the feeds? Because I've never heard of BB flicks and chill, so I'm questioning how effective this is.
Well, I think it depends on what you end up seeing, because if you invite a girl over and it's late at night and Tyler and Angela are lying in bed and they're declaring their love for each other, like you're setting a mood there.
It's like a rom-com. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, if instead you're getting, you know, JC talking about what like hula hooping, then equally, I think, arousing. So I think you're good.
Yeah. So pretty much it will work no matter what.
Let's go over some of these posters. There was some like it robot, which I felt like was obviously a reference to me.
Yes, indeed. That's normally what you say after you BB flicks and chill. That's your catchphrase.
You know, some like it robot. Do you?
I think we're starting to put something together for you, Darren. I'm just saying.
It's a whole strategy. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I'm going to get the robe out. It's going to be great.
That's the missing piece. That's where you've been going wrong up until now.
If only I'd known. Luckily, Tyler is here to show me the way. We got 9 angry jurors. It was just a game, but they're making it personal. Josh says it was the best ensemble cast ever. Paul says, pissed.
I actually did enjoy the review commentary from the house guests at the bottom. I thought that was a nice touch, actually. Very fun.
Yes. We also got Grumpy Cold Men, which was Chilltown, which this is like the second time on the season that they are calling Mike Boogie old.
Yeah, they're really laying into him, right? I guess he might be persona non grata after his 12th lawsuit. So I think they're laying it on now. He's no longer protected by the BB family. But hey, he's still like on their minds. You know, he's still coming up in the show. So he has not been, you know, left out in the cold entirely. He's just getting the old man jokes now.
Yeah, that it says there's an old front rolling into Chilltown.
Well, in all fairness, he's not young. So.
Chicken George says,
I'd love to see him come in like 10 more years from now. He's like nearing 60 and he's still rapping, still has the basketball jerseys on. Like that would be worth everything. So maybe that's what they're leading up to, like the fourth iteration of Boogie as some sort of like he's going to try and play like a game where he's like, I'm going to lull him into a false sense of security. So I got a cane in the house or something like that. This could be a part of a long con that he's setting up, actually.
It'll all come full circle. And his last season, he will end every other episode with a rap, just like in his first season. But it'll be an old man rap, like the great Chicken George, who calls this poster hilarious.
As well he would.
Yeah. We got Casablanca, which Steve Moses calls one of the worst romances of the decade. It's Clay and Shelley. But what I really found funny about this one was Angela calls it Casablanca A.
Yes.
Like she's maybe Canadian or also maybe has never heard of this movie before.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Her sounding out didn't quite add up to the sum of its parts there. This was a deep dive. I would have really been surprised if you had bet me prior to this episode, would we see Clay? I would have definitely lost that bet.
There you go. Yeah.
He's like the fifth best house guest from Texas A&M in the last 3 years.
he's not even with Shelly. They didn't even last a month outside the house.
Yeah, I think they would have I guess they really are protecting their favorites, right? Because I think this was a missed opportunity. They could have gone with Corey and Nicole possibly instead.
Yeah. There was also From Dusk Till Pawn, featuring Paul in a hoodie with all of the Big Brother 19 contestants on a chessboard. Various quotes from the house guests. Paul is amazing, says Christmas. Matt says, Paul is God. Jason says, I love Paul. And Raven says, Paul is my butty.
I definitely loving the quotes. I think they could have probably done a little bit better on the title there. But yes, you know, got to rip on last year's cast members a little bit.
Yeah, really pulling from the Quentin Tarantino filmography there, from Dusk Till Dawn. Good movie.
Yeah, no, good movie. Not sure about the relevance to that particular scenario, but okay, I'll take it.
Yeah. Butty, was that a thing on the show, or did they pull that from the podcast? I feel like they pulled that from the podcast. I'm going to believe
that. It's very possible. You have friends in high places.
Yeah, the poster makers for the challenge.
Let's be real here. You probably have DM'd the poster maker from the challenge many times.
our good buddy Johnny Mac, Tooth or Dare. This is my favorite because it's Johnny Mac.
Yes, I don't know if this is a well-known fact or not, but Truth or Dare was written by Big Brother executive producer Chris Roach. He is the EP of the Sunday night shows and also former WWE colleague, and he wrote Truth or Dare. So nice to plug his own movie there and to do it with our boy J-Mac. I enjoyed seeing that one.
Yes, open wide and scream. Vanessa calls it terrifying. they were really pushing this one. Mr. Pectacular is cocky.
Yes. I'm surprised they didn't actually pay him a stipend to go running up the rocky stairs in Philly, like fly him out just so they could get a better shot for the poster.
That'd be great. Big Meech says, this film made me cry. Everything does.
I don't see the relevance. Yeah. Like, how about someone who played with Jesse?
There was Dude, Where's My Veto? Cody says, it's so funny, I actually smiled. This is very out of character for Cody.
Yeah, that does not sound on brand for the Cody we know.
Yes. Then we got Boogie Nights featuring Mike Boogie saying, old guard, new moves. Two in one competition.
This is harsh, very harsh, and doubling down on Boogie. Someone in production is a true enormous homer for Mike Boogie. Somebody there does love this man, and I like seeing him too. I like seeing them dust off the grates. So, but yeah, they have. It's like what, the third or fourth joke. Basically, if he's on a poster, he's old now.
As Dr. Will says, more fun than being on the block.
Yes, I'm a little surprised we didn't see any sort of, you know, like Step Brothers play or something with the Calafiores in there. It was a missed opportunity.
The only Calafiore mention was from the Forgettables. Cody Calafiore calls the Forgettables, which features all of the first out, or many of the first outs: Steve, Joey, Glenn, Cameron, and either David Gurton or Jace. I honestly couldn't tell the difference.
Someone on a surfboard, exactly.
Cody Calafiore says, this is a great film for the whole family. I have no idea.
Well, by that poster, they're on the beer number 8, probably.
Probably. It's a Wonderful Life, I thought was a good one.
That is a fine wordplay right there. And anyone, I will shout this to the rafters every single time that he comes up. Luan is probably, without exaggeration, the nicest, coolest, most fun-loving guy who's ever been on the show, so I always like to see Luan pop up in there. I often wonder what could have been, and maybe if we did It's a Wonderful Life, he could have risen out of the Big Brother game, watched his life, observed it, and perhaps changed it, but unfortunately he did not have that opportunity.
He wanted out because he thought he could get superpowers. Rachel Riley says, a crowning achievement in dramatic film.
Yes, she also said, it brought back my husband.
Yeah, I thought the better quote from Rachel Riley should have been, thank you.
Exactly. A wonderful film.
Yeah.
That, alongside of several other twists, you know, won me the title. So
this film will make you rich.
Yeah. 4 weeks from now, you'll get to repartner with Jordan for no apparent reason when you need to win a competition and replay a competition you already won this season. Oh, wait, sorry. That would not fit on the poster. I'm sorry.
Too long. We got another, of course, could not go a competition without a Jody reference. G.I. Jody. They said she wouldn't last an hour. She proved them wrong. Barely. Glenn Garcia says a laugh a minute.
What's really great about that is I looked down. I was jotting something down about the previous one for the podcast. And I looked up quickly and I automatically assumed it was like, you know, Jody from last season. Like, I thought it was like about them. So then I was like trying to put it together because I was like only on the screen for like another second. I was like, this one is confusing me. I'm not sure what the storyline of this is. This makes a lot more sense now that you clue me in on this.
I also thought it was Jessica I was like, I don't know why I thought that.
That would have been way better. It was just like her in like a G.I. Jane type of like film. And then Glenn just has the quote for no reason.
There's also a Cry Hard, which is Michelle. 16 house guests, 99 days, more tears than you can count, which... It's kind of a mixed, it felt like a Survivor quote, but it was Die Hard. And this was the second Big Meech tier reference.
If we were to put together like a pay-per-view of fights between past house guests, I think this could be setting up a feud where Amber Siavish comes for her crown, because I think she has something to say about who has cried the hardest in the Big Brother house. You know, I know that they have a little recency bias here, but I don't know how she's going to feel about Meech taking on the crown of the biggest crier now. I think they're rewriting history here.
We need to do an off-season podcast, which is BB superlatives, so that we can get the true winners. Because I think you're right. This is not even just your own season bias. Amber should have the crying. She cried like every single episode. If you guys don't remember, it's easy to forget. But if you rewatch Big Brother 8, it will literally be every episode. And I don't think Big Meech can hold a candle to that.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, Big Meech was not withdrawing from crystal meth, so.
We also got Ham-a-Lot, one man's quest to rid the world of fake ham. And then another Big Meech, I laughed, I cried, and then threw up.
All right, then. I mean, I guess she likes going to the movies, right? Was that in her houseguestsonly.com profile?
Yeah. And then one of my favorite titles, Lord of the Zings, The Fellowship of the Zing. Really, yes. Doubled down.
Yes. Very on the nose with that one.
So
at least by that point in the competition, though, they were like a little bit doing misdirections. I feel like the first three or four questions, they just outright said what the answer was. Like, if you were just simply listening, they just ruled out two of the posters. At least like towards the end, if you were trying to like answer quickly, like they were sort of misleading you or pushing you away from something. And then there was one also, I think it was the Luan question, that I just feel like the answer was just outright bogus. Like they eliminated the potential answers. And then they're like, I like watching ensemble films. And like Luan's poster was just like a gigantic poster of his face and like little pictures of other people. Like, that's pushing it as an ensemble film. I don't know. Seemed like it was a biopic about the life and times of Luan. So I'm not sure.
Oh, no. We're going to have another Big Brother 9 controversy here.
Yeah, their feet or a Tyler a few weeks ago is their Tyler's feet left the platform while watching the movie.
Oh no! The rules state that if the cast does not have a larger picture than 2 inches, then it does not count as ensemble. We got to do it over again, guys. Angela cheated. She intentionally cheated this competition. Oh, this whole season has an asterisk. I'm sorry, guys.
Save BBUS.
Angela is going to win this competition 3-2, with JC and Sam coming out. Really, this was a lot closer than I would have imagined, with the two people that shouldn't have been able to win right behind her. If they had done this competition in any other way, they would have had a real shot, I think.
It's in the realm of possibility, but other than saving themselves, which of course is important to them, wouldn't that have just resulted in the other one of the two of them going home anyway? Right.
It's so possible.
So I am not. Yeah, I guess it would have bought them a week or reversed the order or something along those lines. But yes, I was. I really appreciated the show's efforts also to let us have those few seconds of mystery as Sam is building up. Like, we don't see her answer. I might be pulling this one off, but she didn't pull it off. They never pull it off.
No.
The last, 10 times, haven't pulled it off.
Yes. So we're going to see that Angela does in fact want Sam out of the house, and Tyler says he needs to figure out who he wants to sit next to at the end. Now, the last we heard from Tyler on the episodes, he was saying he wanted to take Casey to the end. We've kind of been assuming that that might still be the case, but now we're hearing from him. He's saying, I'm trying to figure out who I need to sit next to in the end. In my opinion, there's no figuring anything out. It is obviously Angela. He should know it's Angela. He should feel it's Angela. He should rip his heart out of his chest and say, I love you, Angela. I'm taking you to the final two. I don't know why there's anything to figure out. But I did see on Twitter, this is basically the one mystery remaining in the season. What's Tyler going to do? So I guess they're not going to tell us what.
Yeah, well, rewinding back, about a week, he should have, without question, been going to the end with Sam, JC, and Brett instead, and crushing them in the competitions himself rather than being brought there. And then there would have been no questions to ask because he could have sat next to any of them, demolished them in the competitions, and then said, I demolished all of you. But since he ruled that out as an option for himself, then yes, he has now put himself in this pickle between the two, as you noted, quite clear as day who he should be going with, really on a personal, a game level, a jury management level, a debate level. There's just really no, there is nothing to, right. But I guess, I don't know. Is he going to argue loyalty? Is he, does he have a guilty conscience that we don't know about? It is hard to say where he's falling here. And also, why do we only hear about this from Tyler? Why does Tyler decide who he's going to sit next to in the end? Why don't we hear the similar quotes from Casey, from Angela, or at least to inform Tyler's sort of segment? Why don't we have everybody else saying, I'd like to be sitting next to Tyler, and then him say, I don't know who I want to sit next to. You know, if that's why they're avoiding showing that, because it's like, you know, makes it too obvious or whatever. But yeah. It's not really, I'm not all that intrigued. I really couldn't give a crap who he takes in the end. You know, it's not like a mystery, I suppose, but not one that I really care about.
As somebody that podcasts about the show every day, it's definitely something I care about. What else are we going to talk about?
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
You can squeeze an extra 8 minutes out of those morning recaps. Well, on the one hand, when he was speaking with Casey, he said...
Exactly. Look, I'm sure there's going to be like a good 5 minute segment tomorrow morning about this quote from Tyler at the Tire Room. Not lying.
Hey, shoot for the stars. I would go for more like 15 minutes.
Depends on who's on with me. But yes, I think you're right. The reason that they're not showing this is because it would just be a clip of everyone saying, I want to go to the end with Tyler. But I think it's such a lock for them that they're going to the end with Tyler. It's not even something that they would bring up on their own. Like, they're not even thinking about the final two, about like, well, when I choose to take Tyler, it's like, no, like when I'm sitting next to, I don't think Angela's thinking about it. I don't think she's thinking, well, if I'm next to Tyler, I'm going to get these votes and these votes. No, she's just like, get to final three, Profit with Tyler. Yes. Same thing with Casey. JC, I think, actually may be in a spot where he might cut Tyler at the end, but I don't think so. I think he thinks he can beat Tyler because Tyler's been just one of his big, dumb puppets.
How great, though, would that be, though, if they were sitting next to each other? He's giving a speech like I controlled Fessy. I controlled Brett. I controlled Tyler all game. And Tyler's like, I feel like Tyler would be so befuddled that he might not even know how to handle it in that situation. Be like, what are you talking about? I was in the alliance that controlled the whole game. And he'll be like, good one, Tyler. No, you weren't. Where's that alliance now?
I can see it now where like Tyler's like, what do you no? I from the start, I got Caitlyn to backdoor Swaggy. I did all these things like ask my alliance level six. And then the rest of level six in the jury house who are pissed that he took JC. Like, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
that's delusional.
Not ring a bell.
Then we see the love segment here. Angela, she's got a secret. She's got is this how you tell your prospective showman's partners that you're in love with them?
I you would think after 11 years, I wouldn't have this sort of like visceral reaction anymore. But that made me want to vomit at myself from 11 years ago. That was disgusting to even just make the audience watch. It was just nobody cares. You know, good for them. I am. Don't get me wrong. I am not begrudging them. This is probably like the best 3 weeks of Tyler, Angela, and Casey's life.
Yeah.
They had a private concert for themselves, just the five of them. Young love has blossomed, and they don't even live across the country, or maybe not. Who knows? They are purportedly from the same area, so who the hell knows? But and they're kicking ass at the game. Life can't be better for them right now, so I do not. They should be enjoying themselves. The audience should not be enjoying that. That was very disgusting to watch and very cold. I don't know how to explain this or why I feel this way, but there have been some other times. There's been a showman segment in the past. You're like, oh, good for them. This was not one of them for me. I just did not feel it was not tugging on my heartstrings.
I think an essential element of it is that they need to be underdogs. Like, they need to be finding comfort in each other in a house of people that hate them.
Right. Cody and Jessica. Yeah, you're 100% right.
When they're on top and everybody already loves them and they're just like dominating the game and then they're also falling in love, it's just like, all right, screw you.
Yeah, it's just like, this is actually like Rockstar's prophecies are coming true. Yeah. It just wasn't for Brett. They get everything.
Everything. This is 2018. This shouldn't be happening.
The pretty people have done it again. Right out from under us.
Rockstar was the true prophet of the season and we didn't recognize it.
Yep. I guess that's just it. It's like, it's almost all just going too well for them, which it's the natural human instinct to want the schadenfreude of it all and wish that they would just fall down in some way or get knocked down a peg. But I have bad news for everyone. It's not happening. And the three of them are going to do tons of club appearances. And, they will be riding into the sunset until at least November 15th. So good for them.
Good prediction. The game has made Angela grow a heart. She feels like an old woman dating again because it's been so many. How old is she? Like 24?
I was also very confused by that. Like, what is she's like so jaded by love that then she like took off like several decades from dating and then has finally come back around and then there were some like Grinch references and stuff. Like she had a lot of mixed metaphors going on there and none of them really applied to the situation. So
yeah, she's 26 and it's been so many years since she could call somebody her boyfriend. And
at least since I was 24.
Yeah.
She's a real old maid. Thank goodness she was able to still pull out love from the grasps of despair. Thank goodness.
If only Rockstar could hear Angela complaining about how she feels like an old woman dating.
They should have done a segment where Angela's like, I can't get any men. No men like me. I'm not pretty enough. I've never could find love. Rockstar would probably just shoot her in the head at the finale.
Yeah. Man, that would be a crazy ending. And then Tyler in the diary, she said she loves me. I'm in love with Angela, I guess. I guess that's how it works, right?
Yeah, let's try and dissect this a little bit. Now, does he not understand the concept of love? Has he never been in love? Is he feeling like a young boy in love? Is he an old man in love? Why is he uncertain of where he said? Did he promise all of the other house guests that he was in love with them? What is his confusion here?
He's hedging his bets. He's told everyone that he loves them, I guess. He's like, I guess I love you. And then after he cuts them, he'll be like, actually, I loved somebody else.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't say something like along the lines of like, I love who you are. I don't want to say on the record that I'm in love with you, but I would love it if, and dancing around the whole thing, and then make sure he goes and checks in with everybody else. And I've loved the time I've spent with you as well. And I love you like a sister, Sam. And, Casey, if you were into men, I think we could have something. And JC, you never know. You know, it's this. I think. If I were him, I know he pinky promised, but I'd go probably running around the house telling everyone he loves them.
Mm. He did do the oh, I'm speechless thing, which is well used tactic, I think, to stall for time when you're like, oh, crap, what do I say?
It really, I mean, you would know better than I would. You're a lot more in tune to the feeds, but it did seem to come a little bit out of the blue. Like, it was like really.
It's such a weird, it's like this, you don't usually tell people you love them in the Big Brother house, especially, you know, sometimes you might expect this from a Big Brother showmance that like started from the very beginning. But they started cuddling like a couple weeks ago. And they still have like, they've made out a couple times. They've like held hands across beds. They're like, star-crossed lovers. But I think that amplifies the feelings. I think that's they feel so strongly because they feel like they can't be together. So it's like it has the electricity of like a first love.
What they should do is have Haley come back and narrate a Romeo and Juliet segment that their BB lives are keeping them apart, but they just want to be in love. And then maybe, just maybe, we can tease the fact this might end with them poisoning each other on the balcony.
And then Casey wins.
Casey wins. That's right. She's the only one left alive.
Yes. In the house.
Between Rockstar Shooting Spree and this.
Oh, man.
That's a strategy to get to the end. It's getting very twisty in there.
We're going to get another JC is pissed segment. He says he's going to go up on the block. We have to win the veto. We have to get Casey out. Tyler's just like, no, you got to have faith. You got to have faith. And JC's like, I don't believe a word Tyler's saying. I'm so mad at him. I feel so stupid. I want to slap him. I'm disappointed in myself. Ugh.
Yeah, I think that he's reached the point where he knows that what he's saying is completely worthless, but I give him credit for still trying. A lot of times when the fans are like, oh, I don't believe this person rolled over, I hate that. They didn't really roll over. They just know the writing is on the wall and there really is, they're in checkmate. That's what it comes down to. And JC is, for all intents and purposes, pretty much there, but he's still trying. So, I give him credit, but it's a little cringeworthy to watch because he doesn't even believe what he's saying at this point. Tyler knows that what he's saying is that everybody knows. So it's an awkward conversation to watch. I feel like he has every right in his own mind to be pissed about the situation. And I think Tyler's right as well. It reaches the point where you're just like, you got to do what you got to do, he is going to be pissed. And that's that. And you just hope he understands in the end. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. You know, there's what else is there to do in this circumstance?
Yeah, it's one of those situations where it's like they both know that they're not telling the truth to each other, but they have to go through the motions because they're still using each other in the game. So it's just like JC is just like, I'm really annoyed about this. And Tyler's like, yeah, but don't worry, I'm doing it for you. And JC's like, no, you're not. But that's fine. That's, we're doing this.
I would have loved to see, I know he kind of did, but I would have loved to see a point blank questioning. And I know he's kind of gone down this path the past few days, but I would have loved to hear Tyler's answer to, please explain to me how this is in our best interest. I just really would have liked to hear the answer to that question.
Yeah. I know you're saying that we're screwed, but what I'm hearing is that you're screwed.
Right. It's not adding up for me.
Yeah. Tyler also says another thing that that maybe I'm reading into, but he says in the diary room, if JC isn't careful, he'll make himself the number one target going into next week. Next week.
Yeah, I don't know when that is. When's that? That's not this week. That's next week. Isn't that just like when there's no one else left to evict?
Isn't that when JC is already the target? Unless Tyler plans on making a move against Angela or Casey at Final Four, which I know was in his plans a while ago. He had planned on cutting Angela at Final Four. Is that still the case? Is it now that he wants to cut Casey? Or is this just a weird way to say that JC needs to be careful? Probably the latter.
Too many diary room sessions at once, like covering the double eviction. Yeah. And it's like, when are we discussing when JC was annoying me? He got to be worried next week. You know, he's just like one of those kicking the ball forward down the street. So they have some, you know, real intrigue to look forward to. JC might be in trouble. It's like, well, who else is going to be in trouble? There's nobody left in the house.
Yeah, this. I think Tyler said this.
All basically in trouble. You either win the competition or you're in trouble.
I think Tyler said this a few times about the person that's not leaving. Like, I think he's. I think part of Tyler's transformation over the season is one that he fell in love with Angela and he's too focused on that. But two, everything has gone his way, and I think he's the power. He never really got HOH-itis, but he got like puppet master-itis, where he's been so in control the whole time that he's like, don't be mouthy, JC, or I can send you home if I want to. And if he does lose, I think that's an aspect of it as well. That sort of the attitude that he seems to be acquiring.
I agree. And one thing I've never liked about his game, albeit it never came back to affect him, so I can't really blame him for this or fault him. It was effective for him, but he had his hands in too many cookie jars. I often think that you need to pick your battles. You need to make your allies feel like they're calling the shots at times. Sometimes you have to just like sort of acquiesce and like let, you know, if you're like 55-45 on who you want to go home, sometimes take the loss on that one. Just let someone else get to call the shots if it's not a big deal. You choose your two or three spots where you really need to like buckle down and say, I need this to happen. And Tyler never did that. He wanted to control everything from the beginning. And I always felt like that was a place where people could come to resent him. But it didn't really come back to bite him. And like you said, you know, that's what he calls being, you know, seven steps ahead. He's only shown us two steps so far, but you know.
It's over seven steps. It sounds like baby Dino the dog is preparing us for the concert segment.
He's getting a little riled up for once we hit the spoilers. Yeah, he's getting a little fired up in the back. He's not liking, you know, some of the things he heard about what's to come after we hit the spoiler section.
I think he's just really pumped up for the BB Rexa concert. I think that he's singing along.
He most certainly was. He enjoyed it more than I did.
Here we go. BB, did you know who BB Rexa was?
There is a poster of her at my gym. Which I, you know, newly joined to try to alleviate my clammy problem so I can stop sweating in meetings.
Nothing stops you sweating more than going to the gym.
Well, ironically enough, I don't actually work hard enough at the gym to sweat there. Yeah, I have the whole scenario backwards. So I have seen a poster of her. I have heard the name. I can't say I could have probably sang you one of her her songs. I'm not sure that I understand what was happening here. Like, what was this? Was it just some sort of cross promotion? Is she a big fan of the show? I can't remember any other time that this late in the game there was this bizarre sort of like luxury. I don't remember, you know, when Sheryl Crow's concert was, or, you know, when Neil Patrick Harris came in. So I guess it's possible that it happened. But this seems just totally random to me.
Yeah, I think Sheryl Crow came in around like Final Seven. So kind of close.
Right. Pretty deep into it. I mean, for the at home audience, I don't think, I mean, on the one hand, you have 6.5 million viewers. That's great for her. On the other hand, I don't think it's really her target audience. You know, I don't think people are going to like now run and buy her album. I just don't see it unfolding that way. And I also just, yeah, it just didn't make for a very dynamic segment. They didn't even have it because it's like they can't actually insult her in any way, the house guests. And also for the house guests, this is like one of the coolest things ever for them. You are so bored by this time in the game. It's literally just playing the competitions. Nothing else matters. There's nothing else to even discuss. There's no game. You have nothing to do. You're sick of these people. You want to get the hell out of there. So for them, and up close and personal, the time they're in the Big Brother house with the love of their life, that's all four of them with Tyler, and you get to have an in-person concert. It's awesome. That must have been an amazing experience for the five of them. It was not an amazing experience for anybody else.
Yeah. I also, like, why did this take place in the lodge from Twin Peaks? Like, I was expecting Dale Cooper to come out. Laura Palmer was singing. So I was getting very, like, very intense Twin Peaks vibes here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was also confused, why they were in the same outfits as like the nomination ceremony. The whole timeline was very confusing to me. Is she auditioning possibly for BB Celeb 2? Is that a scenario that might be coming into play here? Was there any chatter afterwards? I guess they wouldn't have this insight as to like what this was all about, what they were told. I thought maybe like there'd be an explanation in the episode, like, oh, I'm dropping my new so-and-so, or you know, I'm dear friends with Julie Chen Moonves, but no, nothing.
I really enjoyed Sam, who was just very pleased about the whole situation. And she was also just like bawling at the concert. Like, Sam is the person at the concert who is like standing by herself, just like having a religious experience. Just like... just like so into it in a completely different world.
Yeah, I must have had a stroke, because going into like the segment, I thought I saw her wearing a purple wig. And I was like, oh, maybe they like gave out props for the concert. And then the segment happened. I was like, no, it's just her normal hair. Not really sure what happened.
Meanwhile, this is the best moment of Tyler's life. Great first date for him and Angela. I guess it's no longer going to be in Hawaii.
Yeah. It's, hey, it's something to tell their grandkids someday, right?
Yes.
Now, if you had to stack the odds on how the offspring season is going to play out, once we have, you know, the little, you know, Brendan and Rachel and Jeff and Jordan and, you know, Danny and Dom and Tyler and Angela's kids, how do you see this season playing out? Is it going to be like a replay of season 13? Are they going to have similar alliances? Or do you think that like by the time 16 more years roll around, like they'll have their own relationships? Or are going to be old grudges settled? Will their parents be on the season with them?
I love the idea of old grudges, like countries who have, centuries of turmoil in their past. And baby Jeff and Jordan is never going to get along with baby Rachel and Brenton.
There's a new Big Jeff. You know what we should actually do? We should actually crowdfund getting the babies together and doing one of those videos like the Baby Bachelor, where we put them all in the diary room and caption what they're saying about each other, but recreate scenes from BB 13.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Brendan's he's like a zombie. He'll never die in here. He keeps coming back. Or Adora, rather, excuse me.
Baby Jeff is talking about, this is finally going to be my season. And then there's like a ghost of a clown shoe hovering above its head.
He just has a stuffed like baby, like a mobile with a clown shoe just sitting over his head.
We're onto something here.
Yep, it sounds like the plot to It's a Wonderful Life.
I did notice, I had heard the song Meant to Be. I was surprised. I didn't know that I'd know any of these songs, but, I do know a BB Rexha song.
Yeah. It sounded vaguely familiar to me as well, but I can't. And like, also like Sam's so flustered and choked up in this segment and beyond. She can like barely spit out the rest of her lines in the diary. Like I noticed several times they must have just fed her lines, and she seemed to like be unable to put the sentences together. Like it was like her delivery was, maybe she was still just so choked up from the concert. And also Angela's post-concert line of like throwing to the commercial break, that was so awkward and bizarre. And this has happened many times throughout the season. It's like Angela is, because they're scripting her lines, obviously, like they call her in 10 minutes before the final edit and just like get the lines. But it feels like she's getting advanced cuts of the episode. Like she's like, haha, Taryn, you think you're safe based on the last segment, but I know that you're not. And like she's done this many, many times, and it's the only explanation is that she's being teed up like these bizarre like lines. But this was so strange. Like, I hope they enjoyed the riveting sounds of BB Rexha, because after the commercial break, they have a surprise in store for them. It's like, what's happening right now?
They're prepping her like she is going to be the next Julie Chen. They're prepping her to host the show when Julie leaves. She's practicing like the old school reality TV, like coming up on Big Brother 20. I'm going to be putting JC and Sam on the block, which is exactly what happens. I don't know why she told us exactly what was going to happen right before it happened, prior to like a cut to commercial. Then we see it happen. It was very odd.
This is also like a potentially fantastic, like this could be like, so you think you can podcast too, but we try out all the hosts. You have like James Hewling one week, Angela the next week, Judd comes in, and like everyone who has thrown their name out on social media gets to come in and like host for the day so they can see who gets to take over for Julie. It's perfect.
Joey Rodriguez, the next Big Brother 20. So, yes, then we saw the nominations, and Angela, was she reading from a cue card? What was happening? Angela was reading, like, here's what happens at the HOH, at the nomination ceremony. I nominate two people for nomination. I've never seen this before. Where is she reading this from?
She also told us that it was not her first, not her second, but her third time saying this exact speech. She's also listened to it another 10 times. So, yeah, you wouldn't think it would be necessary at this point. I mean, I'm wondering if this should be just reclassified as a fully scripted show by now.
Maybe. But like, where are they even putting, like, where are the cue cards? Is somebody holding them up?
What's that game? Heads up. Like, Sam is like wearing it on her forehead and it's like scrolling across as she's reading it.
I mean, people are saying she was drunk. That doesn't help me about where, like, she was drunk. Therefore, she was just staring off into space. Is that what I'm being told from the chat?
Oh, yeah. Maybe she dropped drugs at the concert.
I'll do the rest of the podcast like this. So guys, I'm drunk. This is what happens when you get drunk.
Yeah, you can no longer look straight forward. Your eyes are wandering. I think they pretty much solved it. Yeah.
Yeah. She says that she has so much blood on her hands, and JC and Sam, their hands are clean, so she won't have a chance sitting next to either of them. Sam says they don't respect her. F them.
One thing that I noticed in Angela's narrative is she seems to not realize the reason that she has blood on her hands is because she was a raving bitch to everyone she eliminated and put on the block. Like, otherwise she would have just like done the duties of the HOH and had like equal amounts of blood on her hands as Tyler, as Casey, as Fessy, as Brad, as JC, but she has an elevated amount of blood on her hands due to her own actions. So she seems to be forgetting that part of the story.
So that was our episode. What a great one. So many things to talk about. This was an extraordinary recap, Eric.
I can't wait. You know how like they send the survivors back to Fiji to like recreate their magical moments? Do you think they'll send Tyler and Angela back to BB Rexha after this? Like they'll go on tour with her as like groupies and travel the world seeing her shows on CBS's dime? They'll be filmed for CBS All Access.
Remember that time you guys like didn't have cell phones and social media? Like, how weird is that, guys?
Yes, that was she was very engaged. So that does lead me to believe, now that you mention it, that she is not, in fact, a big fan of the show.
No.
And that they like gave her a one sentence explanation right before she walked in. Like, these are five people. They're playing a game and they're not allowed to like have cell phones and stuff. They're cut off from the outside world. She's like, oh, OK, interesting.
No cell phones? What? Luckily, I have an enlightened perspective on that. And I think that do you actually feel better without your cell phone and social media? I feel like maybe it's just me. Maybe this is a hot take, but I feel like maybe social media is a bad thing, and that that maybe if you go some time without it, that it might make your head a little clearer.
Yeah, she's woke. She's woke. Hmm. And you know, she's speaking that millennial language in there. So I'm feeling like she was, you know, she's just talking, you know. Come on, guys. I know you're missing the Instagram. I'm cool. I'm BB Rexha. Just talking to them on their level. Angela probably didn't get it because she hasn't found, you know, she's at least 70, 80 years old, according to herself in the diary room.
I don't know what a phone even
doesn't
is.
Know the social medias. Yeah.
Maybe Angela is the one that helped. I'm calling it now. Angela is a production plant. She's there just so she can replace Julie. She's the one that that was their technology consultant on all of their technology theme this season, because she's an old woman. We've cracked the case here.
Yeah, and she drew the movie poster. It's perfect. Yeah. She just did everything,
which is why she won the competition.
Mm-hmm. She's actually the person who is texting the main character on God Friend Me, that we also saw the nice upcoming preview of CBS's great new hit. So she's just everywhere.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some spoilers. I don't have the spoiler music for you live viewers, but the great Scott, he always cuts it in afterwards. So if you're listening to this after the fact, then I'm telling you about how I don't have it, but you're going to hear it anyway, and you're going to think I'm a liar and that that you shouldn't vote for me in the end because I lied to you unnecessarily. So I'm sorry.
I'm glad that you mentioned this, because when I listened last week and this very thing happened, I thought, what a strange justification, because they did play this. So I'm glad you've learned that's how it unfolds now. This is good. It's good. Yeah. I don't want to be misleading people this close to the end of the season, Taryn.
I'm good at setting up mysteries and then solving them in future episodes.
That's right. All right. So...
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
We're into spoilers. The reason we waited so long to go to spoilers is because there's not much to talk about in terms of spoilers. We do have a veto winner. So we have solidified the week here. Casey has won the power of veto. This is her fourth veto, Eric.
I am shocked that she won. so very shocked. You know, listen, you got to give them props. It's been a very impressive, this run of comp wins for the three of them in a row. At the same time, it's an incredible achievement. It's an amazing summer for them. I am not discrediting this at all. They did everything they needed to do to dominate this season. And what more could you ask of them? That being said, is it that incredible of an achievement to consistently beat Sam and JC in competitions? Maybe this is an underrated part of Tyler's game, that he both aligned with Comp Beasts and Scrubs that, you know, were trash that they could then beat up on in the end of the game. But, you know, a lot of this was so self-inflicted by the other side that who else is going to win these competitions? You know, even if we look past the hacker disasters and all of this, this was so easily avoidable. If we rewind back to a time when Fessy is HOH and he simply put up Tyler and Angela, one of Tyler, Angela, and Casey goes home that week. Scotty is still aligned with Haley and Fessy and playing competitions to help them out. The entire tide of this entire thing changes. There's no guarantee that Angela or Casey wins that battle back. That would not have favored them in any which way. You know, it's distinctly possible that the whole thing unfolds in a different way. So awesome for them. They demolished the people they needed to demolish, and I am not taking away from that. That being said, let's keep it in perspective. It's kind of like how Cody Calafiore and Frankie and, you know, Beast Mode dominated Jocasta in the competitions. You know what? They won all the competitions on their season as well. And you know what? That was very impressive. And they all made it to the end totally untested. And I bet if you tallied up the HOHs that Derek, Cody, Beast Mode, and Frankie won, it was probably what? Like, you know, minus Nicole's, it was 85% of the HOHs of the entire season. And that's how they got there. And we're seeing this again. But let's just not lose perspective on who they're playing these games against. And, you know, I'm not trying to sound bitter or anything, which is why I keep saying I'm not discrediting this. I'm just saying, okay. Yeah, a pro athlete defeated JC and Sam in another competition, as well she should. And good for her. Congratulations. She's come on strong. So what are you going
to
do?
I feel like this does tend to happen every season. The difference is that I think it's just so drawn out, where it's like normally you do get to a point if people are playing well enough where everyone who is aligned are the good people at competitions and they take out all the other good people and then they just keep in the bad people for a while. And that's like the end game from, you know, final six on. But if it goes fast enough, it's just like that's just the way that it goes. But when you're at final eight and then you're at final seven and then you're final eight and then it's like, oh my god, you're waiting and waiting and waiting and just like over and over they have to beat the same people over and over again. I think you have a point there.
Yeah, I think this is it. It's right. They're just, it's like just beating the shit out of the same like non-competitors over and over again.
The same like three people over and over.
Right. And what are they supposed to do? So on the one hand, good for them. And on the other hand, like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's just, you're right. It's rough, a little rough. So I want to take you down an imaginary path, a path that is not never going to happen. So we don't really need to entertain this. And I'm sure you've discussed this this week. But, you know, there is the possibility with Casey winning the veto that a very intriguing scenario theoretically could unfold this week. And Casey could choose to use the veto. It would require Angela to put Tyler up on the block. She probably, if she used it on JC, could convince JC to, you know, vote Tyler out in that situation. You know, there's at least some room she could wiggle around with. And, you know, then she's the other vote. They vote him out of the game. And then Angela can't play HOH next week. And you now have yourself sitting there with Tyler out. Angela can't play one of the two competitions. Casey wins out the game. And if she did that, so without ever showing, tipping this off at all, she backdoors Tyler when he's vulnerable, puts him out of the house, limits Angela's ability to compete against her next week, but Angela also has nobody else left in the house, and wins out from that point on, and then theoretically wins, say, a unanimous jury vote, maybe against, you know, either a two-woman finale or a two-LGBTQ finale, and Casey wins a unanimous vote at that point. Is Casey, in that scenario that will never unfold, one of the all-time greats of Big Brother?
I think she's probably up there. I mean, it doesn't negate the fact that I think that like left, like she relied pretty heavily on other people to get her to this point. But I think she'd be up there for sure. I think, you know, I feel like top six.
Yeah, I feel like it would be, you know, far more impressive than the path she's currently on.
Oh, so, yeah. right now, if Casey won, it would probably, I mean, she's played a perfectly fine game, you know, loyal, social enough, you know, did enough to win the jury. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of luck involved in Big Brother. And, you know, it's I think she's been lucky as well. So but she's put herself in a spot where she's been able to get lucky. So I think she'd be a perfectly middle of the road winner. But if she did what you said, then that would be awesome and she'd be a great winner.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's She's played well enough. I actually think that you guys have, put her as a comparison sometimes as maybe like a Cody Calafiore level player. I think that's probably a really good comparison. And Cody was one decision away from winning his season easily.
Yeah.
And would have been a perfectly rightful winner. He was well-liked. He was well-aligned. He was always in the majority. He won competitions. He would have won at the end and he would have won. So, I think that it's a possible scenario here. And no one should begrudge her for doing that. She's done what she needed to do in this game to be in the spot she's in. And she didn't need to do anything else. She didn't need any flash or fanfare. That wasn't her game. So, she turned it on. She basically, Casey played the exact game that Rob is always saying is the correct way to play Big Brother. She went to sleep, made herself useful. She was never the top of her alliance. So if things crumbled, she probably wouldn't have been targeted. So I say good on her for getting this far. You know, she's done as well as she was going to possibly do.
Yeah. And I, I've long been an advocate for Cody's game. I think it's a lot more impressive than people give it credit for. And I think she is essentially Cody if he takes Derek, and Derek had been making mistakes with the jury and Cody ends up winning over Derek. I think that is the scenario that we might be looking at. And I don't think that's too much of a problem. I think that, she's been doing, well enough to earn that spot.
I feel I know the answer to this question, but I will ask you, how would you like handicap percentage wise the likelihood that any of the remaining four non-Tyler players either win Vito at the final four or win the final HOH and cut him at that point, believing that to be their best move? Is it possible anyone is just sitting on that privately or it still occurs to them later in the game? Or do you consider that an absolutely unlikely scenario?
I think I consider it absolutely unlikely at this point. I mean, obviously anything could change for like Tyler could completely slip up and tell somebody like, actually I'm planning on cutting you, and then, flip them around. But I think as of how it is right now, I don't think it's possible. I think JC could do it if he won final four. But even then it's like JC would choose to evict both Casey and Angela over Tyler if he had the option. So,
and the truth of the matter is he should.
That's one
of the things that Tyler really did well is that he limited what other people's options would ultimately be. So if you are JC in this situation, the sad truth is Tyler is his best bet of getting to the end. No one else is taking him. So, at this point it's, a marriage of convenience or inconvenience for all parties involved. And I agree. I think even if he found himself in that situation, he's going to just take out probably Angela at that point and think, maybe I'll get, props from the jury for taking out Angela or something along those lines.
Right. And thinking about it, Angela can't win the final four HOH. So she will be vulnerable if JC wins the veto. I think JC chooses to take out Angela every time. He even said at the end of this episode that he can't wait to take the shot at Angela. And I actually do think it's his best move at that point because Angela is the goat right now. Like if anyone is thinking rationally, they want to take her to the final two. So if he takes her out, then he might be able to, if people are thinking rationally, be that person that people take to the final two. Granted, I don't know if Tyler would choose JC over Casey, but I think he's more likely to choose JC over Casey than I don't even know though. Who knows?
He'd have a good argument though. If he just simply lays out the competition wins, he simply lays out the allies that they have there. I wonder, because JC is a good talker, I wonder if he at some point he could, if he is the third, if he could get into Tyler's ear as to making that decision. Because, I think to the outside, it's very clear that he'd be better off sitting against JC than Casey. So, I think there's an off chance. But that's still Tyler sitting there. It's still Tyler's decision making. Right. So, yes, it might benefit him, but that's not taking Tyler out in that scenario. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would be surprised if Tyler was not sitting in the final two at this point. I think it's unlikely. It's a very unlikely scenario that gets him out before then. He'd have to majorly screw up from now until then. It's just a matter of who's he sitting next to and what does the jury do?
I guess we'll find out. One of the Big Brother mysteries still to come.
Yes.
Yeah. So what else is happening in spoiler life? Nothing, right?
Sam is leaving. This is what's happening. Sam is going to go home. They haven't told her yet, I don't think. And so they plan on telling her eventually. Tyler needs to... I said this morning. I feel like Tyler can send Sam with talking points to the jury. I feel like she is that kind of person who is willing to accept talking points. Can she convey them correctly? I don't know, but he could try.
Right. But I know you guys covered this a lot last year. Is Sam like his Raven, where he thinks he's sending her to help convey these points, but she's actually annoying the crap out of the other jurors with these talking points, and they almost don't want to do it because of the gibberish that she would be spouting in this scenario? Also, they better tell her, because based on her bizarre, I will be the courteous one to pack up Brett's belongings, I feel he'd want it that way. I don't know why Brett would want it that way, but Sam, I assure you, and I know she's still partially packed from the last, the double and everything, but Sam is not the person who wants someone else folding her skivvies for her. She is not going to like that. She does not want her crafts packed in a way that they might break in the luggage. I feel like that honestly might be the straw that breaks Sam's back. So they made the mistake with Haley last week. It was totally uncalled for. Not only were they rubbing it in, but totally unnecessary from a game standpoint. But Sam is not to be trifled with in this situation. They should just give her 36 hours to pack up, say goodbye, have a nice dinner. The feeds will be down anyway, so it doesn't matter. Like, just tell her and they will rue the day that they don't, because she has told us many times she will murder them otherwise.
Production better bolt down the doors, because they'll be coming off. Yeah. Bad news. She's
coming home with a piece of them.
Yes. Of each and every one of them. Another thing we might miss with the feeds being down, though, is that they plan on telling JC about level 6 after Sam is gone and hopefully the HOH and veto have been won. I don't remember if the feeds will come back before or after the veto, after Sam leaves, because the feeds will be down until, I believe, at least Wednesday night. I don't want to miss this. If they end up telling JC about level 6,
what is the rationale behind this? They want to send him with that as information, like if he's, because as first of all, as far as the timeline goes, I'm not sure that JC will ever spend time in the jury house. Maybe a couple days. I'm not really actually sure.
I think at Final Four, yeah, he joins them at the round table. So I don't think he spends time at the jury house at all.
All right. So they're trying to send it, I guess, like as like a talking point or something like that. But I don't really think, like, this is not going to be Brittany and the Brigade. Like, I hope that his reaction is like, yeah, no shit, guys, I voted with you every single week. I didn't know. Okay, good. You had a nickname for yourself. That's cute. But like, remember all how every single week we did those things together and we all had that, like, and then they're like, but Rachel and Winston were, and they'll be like, yeah, they were gone 2 months ago. and then I continued to vote with you guys. So that's nice. What reaction is he going to have? Like, you've knocked my socks off, guys. You guys were voting together. I did not know that. Like, I don't understand what the payoff of this is. But well, yeah, they suggested what they're going to gain from this scenario, or are they just like rubbing it in because they feel like they just can at this point?
Well, Casey and Angela think that it will alleviate his concerns. Like, he'll understand, because obviously we made a deal for day 3. We made level 6. Sorry, JC, you've been so loyal to us, but we actually had a previous deal that was made, and so that's why we have to cut you. And they're excited to finally tell somebody, and they feel like it will justify the move. Meanwhile, Tyler is like, crabbing his pants. I need to talk to JC one-on-one at some point, because it's a really bad look for him in particular. It's obviously from Casey and Angela's perspective, like, they have no idea what Tyler's been doing with the rest of the house. I don't think Tyler's a huge fan of this idea, but Casey and Angela are super pumped about it.
Yeah, I don't think that this reveal is going to hold a lot of weight either in the house or to the jury. it's another thing that's going to make the jury members basically just feel stupid. And it's another thing where they're going to be like, okay, thanks, guys. That's cool. Like it's like, that could be, whoa, you guys have been doing that. You killed us. Yeah. Like it's not reading the room well if they think that people are going to be happy to hear this information. Listen, good for them. They deserve it. They deserve to be the final three. They deserve to win. They deserve the money. They deserve the accolades. But they should not have the expectation that people are going to be happy for them. They should just, this is one of those situations where it's like, well, I have to vote for someone. So congrats, guys.
Yeah, especially because I guarantee every single one of the people on that jury says, oh, I knew it. I knew it right all along, even
or,
though they didn't.
Still don't understand, even once they're told, because yeah, they haven't understood anything. That I could see Fessy coming up and he's getting asked Julie question. How do you feel about the reveal of level six? Is like, I don't know. I mean, I was with Tyler and Angela just 2 weeks ago in the Alliance, so I obviously it wasn't that impactful.
I mean, I don't know. Like somebody flipped at some point, so it's not like it was that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, Scotty was his best friend. He was obviously in the Alliance.
Yeah, I mean, like he was working with Scotty too, so you know. And then he's working with JC. Like I don't know. It's not that big of a deal.
Is there any chance whatsoever that the producers are so bored that when we get a jury house segment, we might get a Scotty, Brett, and Fessy dating game vying for Haley's affections in the jury house?
Brett because he's bored, yeah. And Scotty because he's in love, and Fessy because he's Fessy.
I'm in love, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I've never felt feelings of love before, but it does seem that way. I feel like an old woman in love.
And then Haley's in the diary room, you know, like rolling her eyes and looking up like, so these three guys, they're like, you know, talking to me, and Fessy, you know, he's like a lowmance, and Scotty, you know, he's fine, but not like showman's material. And then, you know, Brett, he's great, but he's also a really good liar. So it's like, I don't know.
I always knew what each one of these three were doing in the game. Always. Always. I'm the last opposition. I'm the underdog here. I'm your only hope, America. See, I know what's happening. I had nothing to do with any of this. It was not my fault.
I basically told Fessy not to do anything to Scotty. And then I told Scotty not to trust Tyler. And then I told Brett not to trust Tyler. And, you know, I basically was telling everybody what to do and the successful thing to do. And then nobody ever listened to me. It's not my fault.
Oh, man.
It's my Haley impression.
I liked it. She sounded just like her.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's all we got here tonight. Thank you so much for joining me, Eric. I'm glad that the Summer of Stein was not Steinless this week.
Well, in all actuality, even if Rob was available, I was going to have to cancel on Friday because I'm in hiding from Paulie. So. I don't want him to know my whereabouts. So I figured like if I skipped a week, like he might lose interest and move on to his next feud. So, you know, it's probably all worked out for the best. And hopefully, you know, we'll have Rob back soon and be able to dive right back into baby dogs and celebrity messages and all the important stuff of Big Brother. But I was glad, you know, to remind myself that I can at least put together like a semi-coherent thought about the strategy of the game still, because we lost that long ago on the Summer of Stein.
Has Paulie put out a hit on the America's Favorite Player of Big Brother Season 8?
Yeah, thankfully that was not me.
Yeah.
So I am safe, but I have been looking over my shoulders on the streets of New York lately. Although, considering he has lost not one, but two challenges to Jose on the challenge, I don't know. I like my chances of if it comes to that. So I'll throw down with him in the gauntlet or inferno or whatever they're calling it these days.
I'm picturing it now, a shot of Eric walking the streets of New York. He hears a "Yo, my man." The camera pans over to see Paulie. It pans back and Eric he's gone. He's vanished. He's hiding in a trash can or something.
Just like hear me whispering, "What is good?" stay crushing it. Bye. Just take off running down the street. We got to go, Dino. We got to go. Tino actually snuck up by my foot and scared the hell out of me. I thought it was Polly coming to get me.
Tino, he's doing his best Polly impression.
Whose side is he on?
He's paid up. That was the hitman that Polly hired.
Oh, wait a minute. This is all coming together, right? He told him he was one of his never flip-flopper ride or dies from the beginning. I should have seen this. I thought this was my final two. I hate myself for trusting the wrong people.
They made an alliance called PP and DD.
You know, Dino is good for a good 10 to 15 peas on every walk, so he could actually have been a founding member of the PP Alliance, along with Paul and Polly.
Yeah.
I should have seen this coming. This is heartbreaking. This is how my stay on All-Stars ends, isn't it?
I think it is. Betrayed by your own doc. All right. We should end the podcast before we...
Should have ended 45 minutes ago, Taryn.
Yeah, we already have devolved into madness.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me, sir.
Thank you so much.
Good luck finding something new to discuss tomorrow morning.
I will do my best. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Eric, where can people find you?
I'm at Eric Stein Tweets, but I don't really have anything to say for myself there, so...
Well,
take it or leave it.
Guys, David Gertin just potentially got some major exposure on the episode, so Eric will need your help to catch up here.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
It's true.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I will, of course, be live tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother 20 live feeds. And Tuesday night, we'll have the roundtable. We'll talk about the stock watch, update everything, have some fun. So check it all out. Thank you again, Eric, for joining me. Thank you to the audience for joining us. It's been so much fun. And we will see you next time.